why is October the right time to reschedule Lower Town?
We kind of all got in a huddle, you know, when we worked with the city to make the decision to postpone all the events happening this summer. And we all got together and, you know, kind of tried to forecast best we could when it might be a safe time later in the year to reschedule these events. So we talked with the city of Paducah and a lot of the other big events, you know, that would happen normally during the summer, and hashed out a date in October that worked for everyone.
It's really hard to make plans 2 weeks in advance these days because of how quickly things change. I do wonder, though, have you had any preliminary discussions about what social distancing precautions will be needed at the festival?
Yeah, we've had several meetings via Zoom and just, you know, some phone conference meetings as well with the Yiser directors and then the Lower Town committee. Festival committee as well, and safety and social distancing, and following the guidelines, you know, that the mayor and the governor and the CDC have in place is one of our top concerns, definitely.
You book festivals in addition to the one in Paducah. I just wonder, is this with lots of the people you're working with, are they kind of all eyeing this fall, especially the outdoor festivals, as a chance to restart? Is there any kind of consistency with what you've been hearing?
A lot of people are hopeful for the fall, but very, you know, everyone's listening and talking to each other a lot. I'm very glad, you know, that safety seems and is the top priority for everybody. Nobody wants to push forward, you know, if it's gonna put anybody in a bad position. So there's been a lot of talk between festivals and between different organizations in Kentucky about what the right thing to do is.
Have you noticed any difference between festivals that typically do take place more or entirely outdoors and those that might have more of a focus on enclosed indoor environments?
It does seem that there's a better response to outdoor events from the public and from planners as well. A big part of hosting an event is making sure that people coming to it feel safe also. So just good communication with your audience about what to expect at the event, I think is very, very important.
Specific to Lower Town, how big of a changeover have you experienced with the musicians considering the, I guess, 5 month delay?
I was pretty happy to be in touch with all of our musicians and see that most of them are able to make a date in October work. So we've been able to maintain most of our lineup for the fall new date.
Well, let's get to the fun stuff now. Tell us who we can look forward to hearing in October. We haven't had a lot of good news the last few months, so we could use some.
Yeah. There were a few, you know, touring groups that already had, you know, some bigger commitments for the fall and wouldn't be able to join us. But I'm super, super happy with who we've gotten to fill those places. We focused a little more on local musicians and are happy to have SG Goodman is gonna headline one of the evenings. So having a local headliner that's got a new album, new music coming out, and has a lot of, you know, Murray native folks is a big plus.
What other musicians should we be excited about?
There's a group from Central Kentucky, Joslyn and the Sweet Compression. They're gonna play Saturday. It's a soul, R&B, kind of Motown, groove, blues group. Really, really excited about it. You know, kind of a War and Treaty type sound, horn section, and great soul female vocalist. So that's one of the picks that I'm most excited about.
Well, What about the side stage? Will that still work the same way? Will there be the larger stage and then the songwriter stage, or will you have to change that configuration?
So a lot of what the event is looking like is, you know, shaping up slowly and changing a little bit every week. We think this event's going to be a lot different this year. It's not going to be the typical Lower Town Arts and Music Festival that you're used to seeing in May. We're responding, you know, to the situation for events, and going to try and make this October date work best with those circumstances. That being said, we do plan to have two stages, and we plan to have, you know, as many as 30 different musicians throughout the weekend. So still lots of music going on, lots of art, and then, you know, interactive part of the event. There's lots of, like you said, lots of events rescheduling for the fall, but we like to think of ours as the one that really focuses on creativity and bringing the region together through music and art. That's our focus.
Do you have any information about the artists who will be there? They're usually set up in tents, you know, kind of close together. Will that configuration have to be modified? I know this isn't really your area of expertise, but what do you know about, I guess, the physical setup that people will be walking into?
Yeah, I mean, we're still planning on having artists in tents outdoors on the streets. Things that, you know, we haven't made a final decision on yet, or, you know, the spacing and the layout, things like that. People are, you know, making sure that lines are safe and, you know, people getting lines and people getting in the street, the density of crowds, things like that. Food handling is another one, you know, making sure that that is safe and sanitary and following guidelines. So we have lots of artists and lots of food vendors interested in the event. And we're staying in touch with them about best practices as they develop.
So we're at the very beginning of June, and we have all the way until October for the festival. What are important dates or announcements that people should be looking for between now and the opening of the festival?
I think by the end of the month, we'll have a lot closer grasp of what the 2020 October festival is going to look like. We're considering maybe changing a little bit of the geography of the event some, and changing some other things as well. So, I mean, just stay with us and, you know, check us out on the social media and our website. Check in with the Yizer, see what's happening there, as we make it through the summer together.
Have you ever in your career had to reschedule festivals like you're having to now? Is coronavirus, is this actually unprecedented in the concert industry?
Something of this scale, yes. That's a first, you know, something that affects everyone on a global situation. It's a new thing for sure. I mean, I've had festivals that were, you know, scheduled for the first weekend, and then 2 days out, they say, oh, it's going to rain, let's do it next weekend. And I was like, oh, wow, it's not that easy. That's one thing, but this is a whole other thing. You know, when you have lots of people from the community, one thing, you know, you have hundreds of people from the community coming together, but you also have hundreds of people from outside the community, you know, traveling in, a lot of people, both the attendees and the participants in the festival coming in. So just making it work for everyone is a lot for sure. And a lot of people are just kind of, you know, waiting right now and waiting to see what happens. And so are we, you know, before we make some solid announcements on what the event is going to look like. We're, you know, staying informed and doing as much communication as a group and with other professionals and musicians and people throughout the state, throughout the, you know, entire country as well. It's been a good time of really forming some new relationships with different organizations and developing some some good practices for keeping folks safe and, you know, making them feel comfortable at an event.
Have you had any time to talk with your peers and just think about long-term implications for multi-day concert festivals post-coronavirus? Will anything change maybe for the better because of what we've had to do to adapt to this?
Yeah, I think most definitely it will. You know, sanitation practices and crowd awareness, I guess, maybe better monitoring of how many people are actually at an event and entrances, exits, you know, what people are using, anything from sitting down at a picnic table to using a restroom to, you know, how lines are formed, all of these things, you know, how much air circulates in a whatever through through each day. It's a lot of new things to think about that, I think are going to help us in the long run create safer and more informed events.